Well, good morning. We're glad that you are that you're here today. Today you stumbled in on week number two of our new teaching series entitled Essential Things. And before I get into that, somebody shared a note with me first service and some info that I thought you guys would enjoy hearing about. The Love Feast yesterday, we fed 148 people. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. And then there were 20 takeout meals in addition to that, so that was great. We had 28 people from church here come and help serve that, so that was a really good turnout. And 22 people contributed food for that and money and such, so that was a real neat thing. And they had quite a bit left over, and they took the leftovers to the rescue mission, and it could be used there. So I just wanted to thank you for having a presence in our community and loving and helping other people. Also, Barry Anderson mentioned to me that, you know, this week was the apple dumplings up at the park, up at Del Grosso's Park. You can still go up there and get one of those today. Please don't leave till after I'm finished preaching. That'll hurt my feelings. But the Del Grosso Park this afternoon, the Lighthouse Fellowship will be serving their apple dumplings up there this afternoon. We had 31 people here from the church help make those. They made over 5,000 apple dumplings, and that was a good time. And a shout out to Steve Corklick. They said Steve brought food over on Tuesday and fed everybody that was working there from 29th Street Deli for lunch, and that was a good thing as well. You know, it's neat to hear stories and examples of people being the hands and feet of Jesus. All right, let's bow our heads and let's just pray as we get into this. Lord, I pray you bless us right now as we study and hear from your word. May it encourage us, Lord. Encourage us in things that are essential, in things that really, really matter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, last week we started by talking about the historical slogan associated with our church, in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in all things love. There are things that we really need to agree on, and those are the things that we're talking about here for the next number of weeks. Last week we talked about God, how God was in the beginning, but before we ever were, God was. And nothing created God. God created everything out of nothing. And now today we're going to add to that. We're going to look at this idea about the Trinity. And let me begin by telling you just a little story here. If you talk to any preacher that's been doing this very long, they'll have some real tales to tell you about encounters, conversations that they've had with different people associated with church. Just a couple of years ago here at First Church, after our morning service, I was in the back and this man came up and he introduced himself to me. And he said that it was his first time here. And I said, it's great to have you here at First Church today. He said, I'm here by myself. He said, my family isn't with me. And I said, we're glad to have you. And he said, actually, my wife and children, he said, they may come back next week with me. And I said, well, I'll be glad to meet them. Looking forward to it. And then he said this. He said, I have a question I need to ask you. And he said, I need you to know that your answer to this question will determine whether or not I ever come back. So, wow. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody, right? And so I'm thinking to my mind, okay, I've met him, but I guess I'm not going to meet his wife and kids unless I have the right answer. Okay, here was his question, all right? He said, I need to know your opinion and the church's position on the tribulation. He said, are you pre-trib or post-trib? Or are you mid-trib? Now you know what he's talking about, right? The tribulation of Christ, you know, and whether or not, you know, that the church will be called out of the tribulation before it ever starts, or they have to go through the tribulation and the return comes after, or if some way that God takes us out of the tribulation in the middle of it. Pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. Now, mind you that he said that how I answered this question was going to determine whether or not I was ever going to see him again. So like always, when you get a really tough question, you're not sure how you're supposed to answer it. You just make a joke out of it, right? So I said to him, I said this. I said, well, I said, actually, I'm what you call a pan trib. And I could see this, you know, big confusion on his face. And I said, you never heard of that? And he said, no. I said, well, I said, literally, I'm just trusting in Jesus, and he'll make all those kinds of things pan out in the end. He did not laugh as you are right now. You know, I tried to give him an answer and how I felt about that, but I also tried to convey to him that really, you know, that's one of those things that's like, you know, I would consider it important, but not essential. I don't think you're going to get to heaven and God's going to say, okay, I need to know whether you are pre-trib, post-trib, or mid-trib before I let you into heaven. Well, Lord, I'm here, okay? I don't think that's going to be a question that's asked. I think that there are some things that we make essential, and there's other things that I think that are essential that we make less important. You know, for example, we as Jesus said, we look for the speck in our brother's eye when we have a large plank coming out of our own. You know, that we major in things that are minor instead of majoring in things that are major. Now, what I talked to you about last week, that's a major. That's an essential thing. We need to understand and believe and be united in the fact that God is creator, that God has always been, that God is not a creation of our own culture today, but that God has always been. He's not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, we must desire what He wants us to be rather than creating Him in our own image. That was last week. Well, today I want to talk to you about this idea of the Holy Trinity. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, when I was young, my concept of God, as I grew up, was of this really stout, strong, gray-headed guy that was just going to whip you into shape. You know, I think today, you know, and I'm not sure, I don't understand exactly how we've done this, but we've made God into something else entirely different than that, than what we saw God as in our past when we were growing up. And I dare say that probably both then and that and now that we're way off base. You see, because the Bible talks about that God is the one true God. Jesus said that me and the Father are one. Last week in the creation story, God said, let us make man in our image. John said in his gospel that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan, but I'm going to send the Comforter to be with you. Jesus said that I will be with you until the very end. Okay, so God is the one true God. And a lot of times, you know, people may accuse Christianity of worshiping three different gods: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we serve one true God. You know, there's just a few times in the Scripture where the Trinity shows up together. Jesus' baptism was one of those. As Jesus was being baptized in the river, it says that God spoke and the dove came down out of heaven, and God said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the dove symbolizing the presence of the Holy Spirit at that time. Another time is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It's our text today, where it says that may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Isn't that awesome? Do you see the Trinity there? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see, I believe with all my heart that that's the teaching that's wound up in this idea of the Trinity. It's all about the presence of God. And of us honoring that presence in our life. In other words, in the beginning you had God, and God spoke and created all that there was. And then you had God the Father who spoke to his children, who spoke through his prophets. And then at just the right time, God the Son, Jesus, came and lived a sinless life on this earth and died for us. God died in our place. And then he said, I will not leave you or forsake you when he was going back into heaven. But he said, the Holy Spirit will come, the Comforter, to be with you to the very end. It's all about the presence of God always being with us. Matter of fact, if you look at this passage very closely, you see that it says that may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Grace. What is grace? Grace is favor. Grace is showing someone you love them, even if they don't deserve it. You know, when you feel kindness towards someone who's not been kind to you, that's grace. You're showing grace. Or when you show respect to someone who others don't respect or who doesn't respect you, you're showing grace. I mean, when you have the power to destroy an enemy but you choose not to, then you're showing grace. And when it comes to grace, Jesus Christ is the part of the Trinity who reveals God's grace to us. Why? Because that part of the Trinity, God himself, came to live a sinless life and he died in our place. That is truly grace. You see it in the Bible. Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Jesus, who was betrayed by his people, who was abandoned by his friends, who was condemned by his country, and yet it says that he came to save them all. That he had the power to destroy his enemies, but yet he offered something different. He offered them grace and mercy and forgiveness and eternal life. That is grace. But see, when you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're in a relationship with someone who extends grace to you. When you're in a relationship with Jesus, his grace rubs off on you. Therefore, you are increasingly full of grace. He changes you into his likeness in the same way that any kind of great friend reflects on us. How much do you look like Christ in this? You know, this past last week, I went down to Baltimore to attend the funeral of my first cousin, Kitty Ciccone. She passed away after a long illness. And I got to see her husband, whom I've seen some. I got to see her brother, who I was real close to. He lives out in Dallas, Texas. He came in. And he had a son with him whom I had never met. So I go into the funeral home on Thursday, and I see these 100 people milling around, and I see my cousin's husband up there, and I see Frank, my cousin's brother, up there, and I really don't know anybody else by looking at them in the room. But I knew that my other cousin, her brother, his son, was with him, and I was looking around, and I saw this young 20-something-year-old man over in the corner. And I couldn't hear him, but I could see him talk. I could see his mouth moving. And I could see the way he was standing. And I could see the way he was held in his arms down by his side. And I said to Arlene, I said, that's Frank's son right there. She said, how do you know? I said, look at him. And I walked up to the young man and I said to him, I said, you must be Ryan. And he said, yes, who are you? And I told him who I was. And he said, have we met? And I said, well, I don't think we've ever met. Or if we did, it was when you were just a baby. And but I said, I saw you when I came in the room. And I could tell by the way your mouth was moving and the way you were standing, the way you were carrying yourself, that you were your father's son. And Jesus, who is the manifestation of God's grace, God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son in the New Testament, God the Holy Spirit now, but Jesus was the manifestation of God's grace. And I said, I could tell it was you because you were walking like your father. You were standing like your father. Your mouth, you were moving your mouth like your father. And even though I couldn't hear you, I knew you were your father's son. So I ask you, how much like Jesus are we? See, a lot of times we debate this question of the Trinity and what it means and how it can be true and how it can be so. When in reality, we need to understand that the Trinity are the different characteristics of God. God the Father, God the Creator in the beginning, God the Father in the Old Testament, God the Son, the giver of grace in the New Testament, and God the Holy Spirit who is with us now. How much like Jesus are we? And it's all shown in the way that we offer grace like he did. Look at the second thing here, because he says about the love of God. The love of God. Love is the characteristic of the nature of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God is love. And love is what causes God the Father to sacrifice himself as God the Son for our well-being, that we would know of his love. I mean, are you experiencing that love? I mean, the Bible says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. How much do you know of God's love, and how much are you showing God's love? I think most of you know that our daughter Kristen is living overseas right now, and she called home a couple weeks ago, and she said to her mother, she said, Mom, she said, the cereal here in London is just awful. I didn't know it. You can't get like the same kinds of cereal that we get here. So Kristen said, Dad, could you send me some chocolate Cocoa Puffs? Okay, so we went and bought two of the largest boxes of Cocoa Puffs out of the grocery store, and we took them to the post office to mail them. And it cost $65. So I'm thinking, okay, $65 plus the cereal, $75 for two boxes of cereal. How much do I love this kid? Can you imagine that? You know, $75 for two boxes of cereal. But here's the thing, folks. Love, there is no end to real love. I mean, think about it. When your kid needs an expensive horn for school, what do? You find one and you buy it. My two girls, when they were very young, they decided they wanted to learn to play the piano. And I went out and I had a guy talk me into a brand new piano. It was the most expensive coffee table I've ever owned. They didn't stay with it very long, and that every time I walked in, that piano became an object of just what you will do for your kids when you love them. Julie has the piano. Still got the piano? There you go. It's there. We do these things, these extravagant things for our kids because we love them. But that's nothing compared to what God the Father gave up for our salvation. He gave up the person who is in an eternal relationship with him. The eternal relationship of love and fellowship to be abused and killed by the very person that he wanted to save. God's love is extreme. So when you think of the Trinity, I don't want you to think of just the mystery. I want you to think of the depths of the love that God showed for all of us. But you see, folks, when you know God, you know love. And love causes you to invest in other people, to invest in your own children, to invest in the lives of others, to invest in people that you don't even know, or sometimes people that you don't even like. And your friends rub off on you. And when God is your friend, God rubs off on you, and the love of God becomes an attribute in your life and a characteristic of your life as well. And then the third thing here, look at this, is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship occurs when people who are in relationship are in communication. Think about that. You can't have fellowship without communication. Now, I don't mean communication just in the sense of words, but in the sense of living life together and enjoying life together. That communication can take on many forms. Certainly for church people, it can mean attending church, sitting next to someone that you love or care about, putting your voices together with them, singing songs in fellowship to God, or attending a church function or serving at a church function. It could even be friends and doing enjoyable things together. Or it can just be talking and sharing over a cup of coffee. But the Holy Spirit is the characteristic of fellowship in the Trinity. So see, when you look at the Trinity, you can think of mystery. How can this be three in one? But we're all three in one. Think about it. I'm three in one. I'm a son, I'm a husband, and I'm a father. I am a son to my mother, to my parents. I am a husband to my wife. I am a father to my children. I'm three people in one. I can't be a son to my children. I can't be a father to my wife. I am a son to my parents. I am a husband to my wife. I am a father to my children. I am three people in one. So when it comes to the Trinity, don't think of just the mystery. Think of the grace that was shown in Jesus Christ. Think of the love of the Father in sacrificing Himself for us. And think of the fellowship that we have with His wonderful Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit motivates us. The Holy Spirit communicates God's thoughts and desires and instructions. The Holy Spirit at times just hangs out with us. The Bible says that God lives inside each of us that know Him as Savior and Lord. We see this in the Bible. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled the disciples and allowed them to communicate God's plan of salvation to people who did not share a common language. The Holy Spirit broke down barriers to fellowship. The Holy Spirit broke down cultural barriers between believers or different ethnic backgrounds as well. And the thing about it is that the Holy Spirit links our mind and our spirit with God. I mean, think about that, folks. The whole idea of the Trinity and of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is that you know, in the beginning we had the one God who had always been created. And then we had God the Father who spoke to us through the prophets, through His Word, through the Old Testament. Then we had the God the Son who came and lived among us and died in our place so that we might know His grace. And now we have this wonderful time of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that He would be with us till the very end of the age. But a lot of times when people think about God, think about it. When people were to ask you, where is God? What do you say? Is He in heaven? He's way out there. Where is God? The Bible teaches emphatically that if you are a believer, God lives inside of you. in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit links us to the mind and the character of God. He allows fellowship between Creator and created. And when we are in a relationship with God, then we are fellowshipping with Him through the power of that wonderful Holy Spirit. And like any relationship, your friend rubs off on you. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have fellowship with Him and with all of those that follow Jesus Christ. Think about the blessing that we encounter every day because of the presence of that wonderful Spirit. So, grace and love and fellowship are the results of being in a relationship with God. God the triune God, existing fully in the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but yet each one embodying a certain characteristic of that one true God. Jesus shows us the grace of God. The Father shows us the love of God. The Holy Spirit draws us into fellowship with God. And when we have those three, then we certainly have unity. So let me ask you a question. How long does a marriage last? You'd say, well, forever. Or for a lifetime. But in reality, you know, lots of marriages don't last forever, for a lifetime. And usually what happens is that there's some breakdown in that oneness, in that relationship, in that respect, and in that honoring and submission. There's a breakdown in that to the point that the two no longer want to be united together. Think about it. How long does a friendship last? Well, friendship lasts as long as that friendship is close. I don't know if you're like me, but I have lots of friends that I had when I was in high school and when I was in grade school, and I've not talked to them for years. Lost touch with them, you know, and if I saw them again, we could kind of pick right up, but we don't stay in touch, we don't communicate, you know. Friendships last as long as the closeness is there. Well, think about your relationship with God and the conditions it's in. And whether or not you feel the closeness of God and the oneness of God right now in your life, because if you don't, you probably have a misunderstanding of what God intended the Trinity to achieve. Because He didn't want the Trinity to be this difficult doctrine that's difficult to explain and hard to understand. He wanted it to create something in you and me, and it was unity together with Him. And that we would always know His presence. And we would always feel His grace and His love and His fellowship. You know, we don't want to have to get to the point where we need to become reacquainted with God. But He wants that relationship to be so real, so deep, so life-changing, that we know that He's with us right here, right now, three persons in one. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just pause right now and ask that You would energize, Lord, our understanding of this beautiful teaching, this wonderful doctrine. And God, may we be unified in our acceptance of it. That You're not only one God who created, but that You're one God, Lord, who died for us and one God that lives in us right now. And Lord, while I know the Bible talks about things like Jesus saying that He and the Father are one, that if we've seen Him, we've seen the Father. And Lord, we know that He wants that oneness to be in us right now. That He wants it to have a profound impact on who we are and how we live. And that, Father, we'd not see this doctrine of the Trinity as some mysterious thing to try to be able to explain. But Lord, it's all about Your presence in our life and something You want us to experience. So God, in our attempt to explain it, may we experience it. Experience You, God, as our Father, of Jesus, Your Son, our Savior, who offers His grace to us, and Your wonderful Holy Spirit that lives in us today, if we know You as Lord and Savior. So, Father, I pray that the fellowship of that sweet Holy Spirit would sustain us both now and forever. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.